Are you excited for the word this morning?
Amen.
You guys not excited. You guys. Amen. Hey, man, we're going to get really excited. I'm stoked because honestly, man, we got to come to church expecting that we're going to hear from God himself, you know, and just at the edge of our seats, just ready to hear from him. I mean, this is such a fun time of the year for me personally as a youth pastor, just to see and celebrate the completion of one season and the commencement of another season. And we're just really excited to just have this graduate Sunday. And just congratulations once again to all the seniors in the building this morning. And I'm just really excited about what God wants to say today to them. Although my sermon today has them in mind. This applies to every single person in this room. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to look at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 today. How many people brought your Bible? Can you read your Bible in the air like you just don't care? Yes. Yes. I'm just looking for all the saved people in the house. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Can we all stand as we honor the reading of God's word? We have a translation here on the screen. Let's just read this passage again. Let's just read it with vigor and just read it with power this morning. Let's just read this together. 1, 2, 3. And Jesus left and returned with the disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? They scoffed. He just is a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. Before we see that, just for a quick moment, for the next 26 minutes and 20 seconds, I want to speak on the subject of the kryptonite of faith. I believe that faith is something, our faith in Jesus is super powerful, but there are kryptonites to it, and we're going to understand that today. So let's pray. Father, would you bless this word, Lord? Father, your word says that if we just meditate on your word, we will be blessed, we will be prosperous, we will be successful. And so, God, I pray that even in these short few moments that you may speak to us a live, now a rhema word, Lord God, to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You could be seated. You could be seated. I am super pumped because this is a cool summer for me. In less than 12 days, there's something that's going to be happening that I believe that God ordained from heaven. I just really believe in the next 12 days that God is going to do something powerful. And that's when the new Superman movie is released in the IMAX movie. I'm just stoked about it. I mean, Superman has always been my favorite. Superman has always been just the hero that I always connected with, because here's this guy from this other planet, and he comes, he grows up just like all of us. He looks like all of us, but something on the inside of him was so powerful. I mean, every now and then I kind of wear my Superman and kind of just, you know what I'm saying? Just every now and then. And so Superman is somebody I connect with because he's normal on the outside, but on the inside, he has so much power. He's filled with something that makes him want to do good. He's filled with something that makes him want to save people, and it's to save the day. It's Superman. That's power. He's the boss. Man, I can't wait. I'm telling you, if you want to come with me, it's going to be a great time. I yell at the movies when Superman is dead, like, you don't do that to Superman. You don't do that to him. You better respect him.
He has lots of power. Today I want to talk about faith. And I want to talk about how powerful your faith in Jesus really is. As we read in Matthew and in all the Gospels, we begin to understand that faith is so powerful that you can speak to a mountain and it will be moved. I mean, when you understand the power of faith, when you understand that faith has this substance that allows God to do miracles in your life. Today in this passage, we're gonna see how faith has failed the people of Nazareth. And faith had the ability to really impact so many people's lives, and faith had the ability to really work miracles in their lives, but there was a kryptonite to their faith. And although they had the power, and although they had the faith and the ability to believe, there was a kryptonite. And all the time when I watch Superman movies, we know about that kryptonite, that one thing, although he's so powerful and although he was such an unstoppable force, there was that kryptonite that always paralyzed him. It paralyzed him from doing any miracles. It paralyzed Superman from doing any kind of saving of the day. And I tell you what, the kryptonite of faith can paralyze the work of God in your life. And so we're gonna look at this passage of scripture, and I'm just so stoked about it because it is such a pretty, it's such a just clear, a clear cut scripture of what faith is not supposed to be. And I really wanna speak to the graduates in this moment because honestly, you know, there's this trend that many people are seeing that our graduates are walking away from the faith once they graduate high school. And I believe that the enemy, the devil, knows about this kryptonite. I believe the enemy knows about this thing that can really attack faith and really leave you paralyzed in your walk with God. And I believe that someone asked me last week, we were doing our missions study in our Sunday school. And one of the teenagers came to me and said, "Pastor Travis, how come it seems as if in these other countries, God is just doing miracles and healing people and doing all types of crazy things?" And one of the other youth said, "Because they believe that he can do it." And so we're going to look at that today in this passage of scripture. But before I get started and get to our points, today, I want to make mention of this scripture, this passage that we find ourselves in. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. We begin to understand right before this passage, Jesus is doing ministry in Capernaum. And he's going around healing people and doing all types of awesome miracles. I mean, he healed a woman with the issue of blood, and he's healing people. He's setting people free. He's delivering people from all type of demonic forces. And God is doing some great work. He's doing it. And so as we continue on in this passage, Jesus is coming to Nazareth. But before we get to it, we got to understand that this is Jesus' second trip to Nazareth. This is the second trip. The first trip, we find out in Luke chapter 4 that he was actually kicked out. In fact, they tried to drive him to the edge of the city and throw him off a cliff. So this is Jesus' second trip after him being after his life being threatened. And so this whole trip here, this whole passage of scripture is birthed out of love. It's birthed out of a passion for Jesus to reach his hometown. It's birthed out of a passion to see miracles done in his own people. This passage is all about the love of God and how he wants to do great things in your life. And so we see Jesus coming in this town, and we see him, and this is Nazareth. And if anybody knows anything about Nazareth, we know that Nazareth wasn't the place to be. In fact, Nazareth is never mentioned in the Old Testament. No Jewish writers, even Josephus, the great philosopher, the great historian, no one talked about Nazareth because Nazareth wasn't good enough to be even talked about. Its population was about 500 people. It was just a small town. The most happening thing in this town was the carpenter shop. I mean, there was nothing good about Nazareth. And as we hear the famous verse, "Can anything good," referring to Jesus, "come from Nazareth?" Why would Jesus go there? I mean, this is the second trip. I mean, the first time, let me go out and reach out to the poor. Let me reach out to this small little town. They need Jesus too. And they reject him. In fact, they almost kill him. And then he goes back again. Now, I believe this, that this passage wants to communicate with us that no matter how far you have walked away from God, no matter how many things you have done against God's name, God is there for you. And he's going to come back to you every time. And he's coming back here in this passage to do some work in the lives of the people. So we see that faith is powerful. We know that faith is powerful. We know that it was the faith of one man who really allowed the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Israel. And that's Abraham. We see that faith in Elijah and Elisha. We see that Jesus had faith. And faith is something that's really powerful. But here are the three kryptonites of faith. And the first is familiarity. It's familiarity. As we look at this passage of scriptures, we see that the people of Nazareth, they thought they knew him. And so they didn't want to respond to him because they thought all that need to be known about Jesus is already known. I mean, these people, they grew up with Jesus. They spent their lives with Jesus. They know Jesus. Oh, that's just Jesus. He grew up on the south side of town, across the tracks. You know, it's just, that's just the kind of attitude they had towards him. Like, we knew him. He was the quiet guy who was always in the temple. We knew him that he was studying, whatever. He never did what all the other kids did. He never fooled around people. He never bullied people. He never talked back to his parents. He just was this quiet guy, real meek, real respectful, but that's just Jesus. And so they spent 30 years with this guy. This is a small town. So everyone knows about everybody. And Jesus goes out as the hometown hero and goes out and performs all types of miracles and begins to be really popular around that region. And he comes back to Nazareth, and the people thought they knew him. You see, it's our walk with God that we really need to pay attention to, because sometimes we can get so familiar in our walk with Jesus that we think all that it is to know about him is already known. And it's that familiarity that really plagues and cripples your faith in Jesus. And the reason why I believe that so many people are walking away from the faith and so many people are up and down their walk with God, because they have become familiar with him. It's just, oh, that's just Jesus. Okay, let's go to church, sing a couple of songs, you know, how great is thou art, and let's hear a sermon. Okay, good sermon, good word, good advice, Jesus, good advice, pastor. Okay, that's good. Now let's go home. And you get into a routine, and it's just Jesus just becomes just Jesus. And you don't even expect him to do anything. So you say the name Jesus, and you don't even expect him to do any miracles among you, because you're just familiar with it. You think that you know all that needs to be known about him. I once heard someone say, if you memorize the entire Bible, know every verse, every worship song, know everything it is to know about God, you still only know 1% of who God is. You still only know 1% of who God is. It's when we lose that hunger, we lose that sense of, and man, I want to seek God. God, I want to be close to you. God, I want to know, I want to worship you. See, we're familiar when we come to church and expecting God not to move. We are familiar when we read our word and we're not expect to hear from God himself. Familiar when we pray and we don't expect God to answer our prayers. We just pray as out of obligation and just to be a good Christian. You see, familiarity is a plague, and it's a kryptonite to your faith. Not only familiarity is a kryptonite to your faith, but unbelief is a kryptonite to your faith. Unbelief is powerful. I mean, we talked about in the beginning how powerful faith is and how it's, you can relate it to the power of Superman, but unbelief is powerful. You think about unbelief, like check this out. Unbelief let the unbelief of one woman, Eve, it led to the entire world being cursed. The unbelief of Aaron led to 3,000 people being slaughtered. The unbelief of Moses led to him not entering into the promised land. You know, the unbelief of all these people has plagued our society. I mean, the unbelief of the days of Noah. I mean, it causes the whole world to be destroyed. And the unbelief of the people of Nazareth limited Almighty Jesus from performing miracles. unbelief is powerful. It is a kryptonite to your faith. It is something that really plagues you. And most people think, and most Christians think, I believe. You know, because we say we believe. I want to read Titus to you. You found Titus 1, chapter verse 16. It says, they claim to know God, but in their actions and in their beliefs, they deny him. You see, you can come to church and you can profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can come and say, hey, I know that there is a God, and I know that there is a Jesus, and I know that he does things. But really, you look at my life, I can't tell you that I really believe in him. And so when my finances get tight, I'm going to stop tithing because I really believe in myself and believe in my way. So I'm not going to tithe anymore. You know, when times get hard, I'm going to withdraw back. And I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to be open. I'm not going to submit to God. You see, it's our lifestyle that tells us if we believe or not, not what we say. And sometimes in life, the way we react to circumstances in life, the way we react to things in life, especially for you graduates, the way you react to the friends around you when you go to school or go off to college, the way you react determines if you believe or not. Do you believe that his way is better? And are you living like it? Not only unbelief is a kryptonite to faith, but also dishonor is a kryptonite. You see, the people of Nazareth, they had a hard time knowing that Jesus was the Lord, because we see it in this verse. I'm going to read it to you. It says, the next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue. And the people who heard him were amazed. I mean, they were amazed. You think about that. They were flabbergasted. I mean, the word, the translation there, they were shocked at this Jesus who had such wisdom. It says they were amazed, and they asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? And then they scoffed, and he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, and Joseph and Judas and Simon. You see, they accepted Jesus for his miracles. They accepted Jesus for his wisdom. But they had a hard time accepting Jesus as their Lord. And I believe that a lot of the people in our church today, We love to hear about Jesus. We love to come to church and hear a good word. God, just can you speak to me? God, can you give me some instruction about how to live life? God, can you give me the pathway? God, can you do something to me? God, can you heal me, Lord Jesus? Can you bless my kids, Father? Can you keep us safe? Because we believe in the miracles of Jesus, and we believe in the wisdom of Jesus, but really, do we believe in the Lordship of Jesus? This whole concept of honoring God, I mean, you see how they dishonored Jesus. They had no sense of reverence, no sense of Jesus is the Lord. Especially in our church today, we don't want to talk about the reverence of God. We want to talk about the awesome of God, the awesomeness of God. We just want to talk about how cool he is and how great he is and how much he loves you. And those things are true. But let me tell you today, he is Lord. He's Lord. I mean, the whole concept of honor and dishonor is something that really struck home with me, because honestly, like growing up, like my family was really big on honoring and respecting your elders. I mean, they were just huge on it. I mean, it just was something that, you know, if I talk back to my grandmother, I'm telling you, she would slap the black off me. I'm telling you. I mean, it's seriously, man. I went to school the next day. People thought I was Michael Jackson because one day I was black. And the next day I was white. I'm telling you. It's serious. So the whole concept of honor is something that really, kind of just always been a part of me. And I knew that I'm supposed to submit. I'm supposed to just to reverence those who are over me. And we don't have that whole concept in our culture today. We don't have that concept of there is a Lord and we are in his house and we are standing on holy ground. And I'll tell you what, graduates, I promise you, if you can keep that sense of reverence towards God, if you can know that he's your Lord and he's over you and you can submit to him, I promise you, you will see great things in your life. Unbelief, familiarity, and dishonor of things that really keep us from really experiencing the power that faith can have in our lives. But I want to talk about the cure to the kryptonite this morning, the next 8 minutes. The first is this. The cure to familiarity is to have a hunger to keep knowing God. If we can just have that passion, we can have that hunger. Say, you know what, God, I want to know you more. God, I don't want to be satisfied and I'll walk with you. So you begin to just have that hunger for him. You begin to want to know him. You begin to set date nights with God. So you know what, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to set this 15 minutes and it's going to just be me and God. No phone, no nothing, just me and God. You begin to come to church and you begin to come 5 minutes earlier and just to pray and say, you know what, God, can you do something new in my life today? I mean, if we can just really have that hunger, say, God, I want to know you more. God, I'm coming to your house to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I'm coming to your house to be filled with wisdom, to be filled with something new. Lord, give me the new wine with my new wineskins. If we can have that hunger, believe that it can cure the kryptonite of familiarity. Second is this. Believe that if we can seek the truth that's found in God's word, it will cure the sense of unbelief. I mean, I tell you what, how powerful the word of the Lord is. And I tell you what, Jesus, these teenagers ask me all the time and says, hey, what's, Pastor Trav, what's with you all with this book that you carried to our high school lunches? And what's with this book? I told them, hey, this is the greatest love story you can ever hear about. I began to tell them that you can find Jesus in every single book of the Bible. I mean, you could find him there. I mean, if you look in Genesis, you can see that he's the seed that bruises the serpent's head. And you look at Exodus, you see that he's the fire by night and the cloud by day. You look at Leviticus and Numbers, he's the priest that maketh forth intercession for God's people. Even you look at Deuteronomy, he's the that bearer up of in everlasting arms. And if you look at Judges, he's the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. You look at Joshua, he's the captain of the host, the captain of God's people that led God's people into the promised land. I mean, if you look at 1 and 2 Samuel, you see that he is the God who calls young people into the priesthood and into the throne room of God. You look at 1 and 2 Kings, he is that God that's a whirlwind of fire, the mantle on Elijah. You look at 1 and 2 Chronicles, he is the Shekinah glory of God that filled the temple of Solomon. If you look at Esther and Ezra, you look at Ruth and how he is that God who's the perfect groom that finds the perfect bride. I mean, you look at the Bible, he is all through the Bible. And if we can have an understanding of who he is, if we can have an understanding that if we seek the truth of Jesus inside the scriptures, I promise you, that will cure that sense of unbelief. You see, the people of Nazareth, they didn't seek him. If they understood the Old Testament, they would have understood who Jesus really was. They couldn't know it because they didn't seek him inside the scriptures. And lastly is this, if we submit to God, I believe that it will cure the sense of dishonor. You know, it's the whole concept of submitting to God is really foreign in our culture today because we don't want to submit to anything. But graduates, if I can tell you something today, if you can submit to God and say, you know what, God, here are my plans, here's my future, I give it to you, what do you want me to do? God, here are my friendship circles. God, here are my relationships. God, here are my finances. God, here's my education. I give it to you. What do you want me to do with it? If we can really practically submit to God, I promise you, you will see kryptonite cured in your life. As I invite the worship team to come back up, in these next few moments, I want to give you a story. I'm going to read the scripture again and just allow it to really sink in your life. It says that Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. And the next Sabbath, he began teaching in a synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon. And his sisters lived right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in Jesus. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown and amongst his relatives and his family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I just want to, and you can start playing, we're about to close in a second. I just want to talk to you just really fast. You know, the scriptures, you know, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was amazed. And honestly, if you read the scriptures and you begin to study that word amazed, Jesus was only amazed two times in the entire Bible. Two times. So there wasn't really much that's going to surprise Jesus. You know, Jesus was God. He was the Alpha, the Omega. The other time that he was amazed was at the faith of the centurion. But Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. He was amazed because he had done miracles and they knew about it. He was amazed because he had spoke the wisdom of God and they knew about it. They knew about it. They came to the temple. They came to church. They knew the routine. They knew this stuff. They knew that he grew up in the temple seeking God and he was being filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew that. They knew it. It was in their hearts. They had a cognitive understanding that Jesus can do miracles, that Jesus can give you wisdom. They knew about it. But Jesus was amazed that even though they knew, they still did not believe. He was amazed. He was heartbroken. Because it wasn't as if he was coming to Nazareth to get his own agenda done. He was coming to Nazareth so the people of God can know that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the people of God can have the miracles of God in their lives. You see, Nazareth, they were familiar with Jesus, but also they were familiar with their situation. They were used to just being the sidekick town. They were used to just being the person who got the second best. They were just used to it. So they were used to getting the second best from God because they were always overlooked. There was no really official priest in the town. There was really nothing there in Nazareth. There was no type of formal education there. There was nothing there. And so the people, they were just so familiar with Jesus, but they were more familiar with their situation. And graduate, if I can tell you this, don't be familiar with getting God's second best. Don't be familiar with not having the miracles of God in your life. Please don't get familiar with that. And I encourage you in this next season of your life to really have a hunger for God. To really find him and seek Jesus inside the scriptures. And lastly, to really submit to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence today, Lord Jesus. God, there's some people in this room, Lord God, they know that they've been coming to church, God, they've been just going through the motions and they just become so familiar with God. So the worship songs that they sing, it doesn't grip their heart. The words that they read in your scriptures, it doesn't really cause them to repent. They're so familiar with you, God. So God, would you touch them in this time? Lord, would your Holy Spirit begin to do something new in their lives? Father, there's some people in here who don't believe in you, Lord. They come and they confess your name, God, but really their actions, Lord God, tells them otherwise, Lord God. So Jesus, would you allow them, Lord Jesus, to really find you in the scriptures, Lord? Lord, help them to find you, Lord. And God, I know there's some people in this room, Lord, who has a hard time submitting to you, Lord God. I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you may allow them to submit to your Lordship, Jesus. If there's anyone in this room, you say, you know what, hey, I've been struggling. I need to give my life to the Lord Jesus. I need to really completely 100% submit to God. That's you in this room. Could you just raise your hand just for I can pray with you? That's you and anybody in this room. Amen. Amen. Secondly, if there's anyone in this room, you say, you know what, Pastor Travis, I just become so familiar with Jesus. I've just, you know, it's just a routine for me. It's not like I'm engaging in a relationship with him. I'm not learning anything new about him. I'm not hearing his voice. That's you in that room. And you say, you know what? I just want to engage in a relationship with Jesus. That's you in this room. Could you raise your hands just really fast this week? I can pray with you. Yes. I see those hands. Yes. Amen. 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 Some of you, you could be in this room and say, you know what, Pastor Travis? I look at my circumstances. I look at my surroundings and I have a hard time believing Jesus over what I see. If that's you in this room, would you raise your hand so we can pray with you? Several hands, several hands. Amen. And lastly, if that's you having a hard time submitting to God, certain areas of your life, I want to pray with you as well. If that's you in this room, could you? Yes, I see those hands. Yes. We all stand in this room. We're going to sing the chorus of a worship song. We're just going to sing the chorus. And during this time, I want to invite the prayer ministers to come to the front and elders. And if you want some prayer to have God to agree with you with some of those hands that were raised, if that's you, you just want to come to the front just to agree with somebody in prayer. Really believe that he can do something new in your life, I want to encourage you to come up while we sing in this worship song.